Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm your servant. Anoint my lips to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know the hearts of men. And your word goes forth out and it will not return void, and it will accomplish the purpose it's set. I ask, Lord, for those that are hearing that they receive this word. For some, that it would produce change, a 180. For others, that it would build fruit in their life for your glory and for your kingdom. Block out the distractions, Lord. And for those who are supposed to be here, those who are supposed to hear this message, Lord, if they found a way not to, that you would make a purpose and a way in their heart that they would hear this message today. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Would you turn to Joshua chapter 1, please? The title of this message is Get Ready for the Promised Land, Be Strong and Courageous. And there is a spiritual war going on right now, folks. It's throughout this world, and the battle is intense. The times have changed, and we are heading towards the end. That started 2,000 years ago. Things are building towards a new order, which means the veil between the earth and the spiritual is thinning. And we have been talking about this for numerous weeks now, probably months. Jesus said these times that we're living in would come. The time is known as birth pangs. And once the baby starts, there's no turning back. You can't rewind the clock. It's going to happen. And so many look at how things used to be. And they long for that. But the world has changed. And it just seems to keep accelerating faster and faster. Like there's no engineer running the train any longer. We live in a time that Isaiah 5:20 described, where those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Living in the reality of the days and the times in which we live comes with an expectation and understanding, if you have a biblical worldview, that the world is going to grow more hostile to you as a believer, as a child of God, because more and more people will reject God. And God is going to shake the foundations of this earth. And as we see the shaking, let's be honest, life itself can be overwhelming. In these days and moments of trouble, crisis, it's hard to remove yourself from the circumstances that you're facing sometimes. But it's hard to remove yourself from the circumstances you're experiencing and look to God for guidance. Even finding courage to move ahead. And I've found myself these past months at times feeling really overwhelmed. I've found myself feeling ill-equipped, unprepared, even sometimes being paralyzed by fear of what lies ahead. And it made me think of Joshua. And the Lord was faithful to bring scripture to my recollection, because in Joshua 1, the setting was clear. Israel was delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from bondage. It had spent years in slavery. And Moses was the vessel God would use to set his people free. And we see Moses used mightily as God would send plagues to loosen Pharaoh's grip. Moses would lead Israel to the Red Sea, where God would part it and they crossed over. It was Moses who would go up to the mountain to see God and would come back with a glow on his face because he was in the presence of holy ground. It would be Moses that would receive divine revelation and share the Mosaic law of God, which is God's standard to live by. And it shows how much of a failure we can be as man without God's grace. Moses led Israel as they wandered in the Sinai wilderness, and during that time, Israel experienced supernatural providence such as the supply of manna, water from a rock, pillar of cloud by day, and fire by night. Yet Moses would not be the one to lead Israel into the promised land. God would choose a different vessel to lead the Israelites. God would commission Joshua for this work, for this task. You see, Egypt was only in preparation for the enjoyment of Canaan land. It was a preparation field. Just as we as Christians have been brought out of Egypt, out of sin, and brought into a life that was could be beyond our wildest dreams in Christ. The wilderness was never the destination God has for us. But sometimes he needs it to prepare you for what lies ahead. And that's where we find our character here in Joshua. In verse 1, in chapter 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying." Did we just take a moment here? After the death of Moses, Moses was not the one to lead them in, right? Into the promise and rest that was coming. It says this all happens after. And if you could just stop for a moment and understand the circumstances that the leader of Israel is now dead. And that in itself should for a lot of people, it'll stop everyone in their tracks. To paralyze them thinking, now what? We've come all the way out here. Now we're in the wilderness. Now what? And we do that, don't we? As humans, we with circumstances that have come out of nowhere, a great shakeup in our life, and the order of things have been disturbed, we throw up our hands and think, okay, how am I going to move forward now? Think about Joshua. How about Joshua? He was taking over for Moses, the one who God used to lead out of Egypt. You think maybe he's thinking, I'm ill-equipped. I'm unprepared for this mission ahead. Perhaps he's feeling overwhelmed, paralyzed by fear, looking at the enormity of the task ahead. Perhaps feeling dismayed, distraught, due to the lack of his own personal inner resources. You're talking about his own capabilities, his own methods, his own means. Anyone else understand? Yep. Have I painted a good picture? Yep. Can you relate? Yes. I think you can. But look at the next set of words. In all of that feeling, what happens? The Lord spoke to Joshua. He had spent his entire career, if you want to call it that, as the assistant to Moses. And Joshua found that now it was his time to lead, but only after God had prepared him. And the Lord speaks to us. There is that voice that can be deafening at times. For me, it was outside the hospital when my father passed away, and the Lord spoke very clear to me saying, "Am I not enough?" He is calling you and I. Are you listening? Are you tuned to that frequency? The Lord, are you saying, "Lord, your servant is listening. Here I am. Use me. Send me." Because he has a calling for each and every one of you. He is preparing us for the days ahead, for something much larger than we can do in our own strength. You got to get out of the natural thinking and start looking at God's ways, thinking on His ways. They're so much higher. They're so much higher. But again, Joshua was Moses' assistant, and he was being prepared because he was faithful in service in the small things. And God had something bigger for Joshua, but he couldn't just hand it to him right then and there. He had to prepare him for it. It's no different than how David was prepared to be king. He was a shepherd first. Before he would even take on Goliath, he took on a lion and a bear. There's a preparatory field. Luke 16:10 says, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. And if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And the Lord speaks and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, as I've given you, as I said to Moses. Now therefore, arise. That emphasizes the need for decisive action, to make a decision to fill the void left by the absence of Moses. The Lord speaks and he gives him a commission. He says, get moving, Joshua. It's your time now, and it's time for all the people to live by faith. I led you out of Egypt by faith. Now you're going to cross the Jordan by faith. And living by faith requires action. It's time to move forward beyond the wilderness to the place God has destined for you. I'm calling you to a Canaan land, a place that is in deliverance but requires conquest. And Israel would get out of Egypt by faith, and they would need that same faith to cross the Jordan. And they would need faith to take the land. They had to walk by faith and not natural sight. And for us, child of God, He is calling us to get moving. To take up your armor. To use the gifts, the supernatural resources that He has bestowed to you through the Ruach HaKodesh. To stop trusting in yourself, in your means, and to move out. He has something for you, folks, something He is calling you to do for His kingdom, for His kingdom. Stop thinking in the natural. This isn't a health and wealth teaching here. This isn't Joel Osteen here. This is start thinking kingdom-minded. And don't let the voices of those who don't believe sway you like the 10 spies did in unbelief. Because the bad report will come.
Yeah.
Your foot I have given you. Entrance into this land is entrusted to Joshua. He would be the trustee, basically, for the people. Just as Jesus would go before us to possess all that God has given us. They're the same name, by the way. Joshua, Yeshua, in the Hebrew. I have given you. The whole land was given, but they could only possess that which they claimed. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. What they took must be fought for against opposition. There's an opposition, right? There were enemies in the land. It's not going to be a cakewalk, folks, walking by faith. You're going to get resistance. Do not be surprised by that. God simply could have spoke it and simply eliminated all their enemies just by the speaking of His word. But He calls Israel into partnership with Him to get His will done, to see His will done. They were given responsibilities, and God would get the glory. And the land was theirs for the taking, but it would not be taken without conflict or without battle. The land of Canaan was full of fortified cities, enemies that needed to be driven out, And they needed to have faith. And the fruit of that faith would be the works the Lord called them to do. What does James say, right? That's our walk. The Christian life, folks. It's a life of conflict with enemies that must be overcome. And the outcome is assured if we're trusting in the Lord. If we trust in his sufficiency and the victory which Christ has won. And yes, we still have to battle. We still have to dress in our armor. We still have to fight the good fight of faith. We deal with flesh. We deal with the enemy. We deal with the world system. It's all present. It's all fighting against us. It's all trying to sway you. And that's the wake-up call, that the reality that has to exist, that this life is full of battles and it's full of conflicts. It's not come to Christ and everything's going to be perfect. Some have different levels of that. Some have just been in it constantly throughout their life. But because taking the land took effort, the challenge ahead was not for those who were content with staying in Egypt, nor those who were content in staying in the wilderness, but for those who would press ahead for what God had called them to do. Listening and walking by faith and living for the word of God, walking in his path, it's not easy. Jesus said it requires denying self, crucifying your flesh, and following him daily. Daily. But victory is assured to Joshua, who's called by God. It says, from the wilderness in this Lebanon as far as the great river, in verse 4, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. From the wilderness as far as the great river, there is a territory of land that is described. That is just a reminder of those who question Israel's right to exist. There's boundaries God has bestowed to them. Real land, not hypotheticals. And it says, I will be with you. Victory is assured not because Joshua is this awesome leader. It's not because Israel was a great nation, but because God is a great God. And because he says to Joshua, I will be with you. That is enough. It's enough for anybody seeking his will. It's enough. He is enough. Am I not enough? Those are the words spoken. Am I not enough? That's confidence that the Lord is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Even when it looks darkest, victory is certain in Christ. Victory was certain for Stephen. He was being stoned to death. And he got the glimpse of the glory of God before he breathed his last breath. And right then and there, he was ushered into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Victory is certain, child. It's certain. All you need is God with you. What shall you say then? That's what Paul said. If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is nobody. The promise Joshua's given was no man will stand against you because the victory was already in the Lord. Just trust in him. It's no different from us. The victory is already won. Trust in the Lord. In verse 6 it says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and of good courage. Joshua is called no different than last week where we saw with Jonathan. Joshua is called to be boldness, to have boldness in God. And three times he's told to be strong and of good courage. Folks, this shows the state of mind where Joshua was at. There was a need for the command here because even a leader like Joshua needs encouragement. The exhortation was needed because he was likely feeling overwhelmed with the set of circumstances. He's been given the mantle of leadership from Moses to him. And he's being called to quite the calling. A special and difficult calling. One with tremendous challenges. One with great obstacles far beyond his own skill and his own abilities. And the courage that Joshua would get would not be in his own strength, and it's not in his own resources. But it's in the Lord. Listen, you can be full of self-confidence all you want, but I'm telling you, that will take you to ruin. Our ways and our paths, man makes a way and it leads to destruction. But his ways are not our ways. And if we trust and walk in his way, we can have full confidence to be fully persuaded that it's going to work out together for the good. Right? He's called each and every one of you and myself to service for his kingdom. There's no one exempt. And we have responsibilities to service to the Lord. And without God's strength and courage, we will fail to tackle the challenges and the obstacles or take the responsibilities that calls us to do. And many that are overconfident in their own strength will come up, be found, they'll come up lacking and found wanting. Just like Belshazzar, when Daniel told him that. You've been weighed in the balances. And the reason is, in your own strength, you're going to lose steam, and you're going to lose the ability to persevere. It happens. It happens. For many, they'll start to panic and just give up, or create an alternate path the moment they get resistance and attacks from the enemy. See, we only know like these one steps at a time. God is already knows how it's all playing out. As a military commander, wouldn't you want to know all the steps that the enemy's going to move ahead of time? The Lord of hosts knows that. You can trust in him. This definition I found was, courage is the quality of mind that enables men to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and resolve in spite of inner fears. Fear is definitely a reality in this world, folks. And the exhortation was to be strong and courageous. The fact that there's an exhortation of that proves that fear exists. Why would he need to be courageous if he wasn't dealing with some fear? Okay? But we have not been given a spirit of fear. There is a spirit of fear in the world, right? But we have not been here. Let's hear you guys say it. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There you go. Faith moves hand in hand with courage. As you trust in God, you trust in his provision, you trust in his resources, knowing they are greater than what this world has or can do to you. And he tells Joshua that you may observe to do according to all the law. Joshua has to take care to observe the word of God. God's word and Joshua's commitment and obedience to his word are the foundation of his success. He's told not to go right or left. And it's the whole law. It says to all the law. He not only needed to read the word of God, it had to be on his lips. It should not depart from his mouth. It had to be in his mind. He had to meditate on it day and night, to think about it constantly. And he had to do it. It says, observe to do according to all that is written. And if you do all that, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. God's words, as we live by it, is a guarantee to success. Not, again, get out of the natural thinking. Not best life now. It doesn't promise a life without problems, but it does ensure that you are able to deal with anything that comes your way because of God's presence with you and his promises that are for his children, which are yes and amen, right? But success is not measured. See, the world says you're counted for sheep as slaughter. Success says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, right? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, remember he said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He gives it again. This encouragement repeated from Joshua 1:5 reminds us that Joshua's success was not only tied to keeping his word, but it's also because the Lord's presence was with him. How awful. How awful when we move in our own ways, in our own methods, in our own intellect, and God is not with us. We think, no, God, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to take my own path. And then we think we can somehow drag or take God along with us. How did that work out for Jonah? Yeah. God had to chasten him to get him back on the right path. Did he not? Watch out, folks. You take these words to heart. I've taken it to heart myself. Trusting God and acknowledging him in all our ways, not saying, hey, I really want to do this and you can come along with me, God. Right? Wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. So the Lord has encouraged Joshua, has he not? He's given him the word. He spoke to him. Look at his action now. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. For within 3 days, waiting for God is often the most difficult path, isn't it? Waiting on him. Man, we have been hammering that point home for the last few weeks. But the days of waiting are always in preparation for God's work. He's preparing them to cross the Jordan. There's no wasted time on God's timetable. He's got perfect timing. Prepare provisions. Get ready. And I love the imagery here that it takes 3 days, because it took with Jesus 3 days and his resurrection. We have access to his eternal promises and access to the promised land of eternity with heaven. Hallelujah. And I love what you see here from Joshua. He's been charged. He gives a clear, definitive direction to his officers. There's decisiveness. There's a confidence that's been stirred up inside him because he heard from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes. There was no delay. Hears from the Lord, and he goes, all right, get ready. We're going. He's moving by faith. He's fully persuaded in the Lord. His eyes are fixed on the Lord. Listen, he did not contemplate all the potential negatives that might come, what the outcome might be. He learned from experience. He knew what the 10 spies did and said. He knew there were battles ahead. Even to move across the Jordan River, folks, during this time, you'll see that it swells. That's a mountain of a task to lead a whole nation. But with God, all things are possible. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half of the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke in verse 12, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servants, gave to you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. What's going on here? The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh were the tribes that decided to settle on the east side of the Jordan River. Moses actually kind of got upset with them at it, but then agreed because they would agree to go across the river and help fight. So they've already conquered some of this land on the east side of the river, but they've promised to cross over and help the rest of the nation take the land, the west side of the Jordan River. But it says, you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. Is that not the same principle with the body of Christ? What 1 Corinthians Paul talks about in chapter 12, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Listen. Some of you have been encouraged. Some of you have been given grace. Some of you have been prayed for. Some of you have helped for you when you were in your time of need, for when you were in your wilderness. There was help from others, from the body, to help you get to your current state, whether you acknowledge it or not. But you should never refuse to help a brother and sister in need because your own state has been settled. That is dangerous, and it's a selfish characteristic that must be examined in our hearts to make sure that you have not become a lover of self. These are very pointed words. And it's a warning to be careful not to lose the favor and promise of God in your life because you think you made it already. That haughty spirit is dangerous. In verse 16, it says, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Here you see Israel unified as a nation to fulfill God's promise and the calling for them to take the land. They overcame the temptation to see themselves separate. They overcame the temptation to stay on the east side of the river. They overcame the temptation to think, I'm set now. I don't have any more work to do in this life. There's no more battles. I've arrived. I've got my destination. I'm on the track. There's application to this specifically in our lives. And we see the willingness of the nation to heed Joshua as their leader. Just as you said, this was confirmation. This was confirmation to the Lord's words to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31. Replacing Moses. Only be strong and of good courage. They confirm the word of God to Joshua. There's a unity in the spirit. Do you understand? Yeah. They say, be of strong and good courage. Powerful passage here, isn't it? When you really look at what's going on here. And the application for us is we're living in interesting times. You see how they're kind of tied together. And we can see the promised land on the horizon. Yeah. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. But Jesus described what was going to happen as the time of his coming would draw near at the end of an age. He said in Luke 21, there's going to be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations. Distress of nations. Do you not see that today?
Yes.
They're perplexed. Yes. They have no answers. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Be on guard means you are aware of what's going on. You clearly understand what's on the other side of that river. Guards are watching for something. They're anticipating something. They're standing firm in the faith. And no matter how things look, or if we do not know what to do in a situation, we can always have courage because we can trust in the Lord's promises. Just as Joshua was preparing the Israelites to take the promised land, he was told to be strong and of good courage. Courage, part of that definition is to be alert, to fortify, to prevail. Make strong. We lift up our eyes to the hills and our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121. Second Corinthians 12, verse 10, right? When Paul is saying, hey, take the thorn from my side. Take this from me. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The I am, the great I am. His strength, not our own strength. Our strength is nothing. And as you get older, you get more weak. But when we are surrendered and trusting in him, it's his might and it's his strength that kicks in. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. No, wrong. The power of his might. His might. His might. His might. We are at war and we must be strong in him who overcame everything. The earth is his footstool. So God approves of good courage for his will to be accomplished. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Another encouragement, isn't it? Yep. Yep. And God uses believers, other believers, to instill courage or to encourage one another. In Deuteronomy 1:38, it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which stands before thee, shall go in thither. Encourage him. He's talking to Moses, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moses was told by God to encourage Joshua. Even though Moses was not going to get to go to the promised land, how many times does God tell us to encourage someone or to be courageous? To pray with somebody, to speak a word to them, to share a scripture with them, to encourage them. You need to be obedient to those leadings. Faithful over little things, faithful over larger things. Don't get so caught up in your own ways and your own timing, like, yeah, maybe I'll get around to that. Not good. And I always thought of Joshua as like the strong character, and he really is. He is. But even the strongest need encouragement, folks. So just think around you. Think around you. Think of your sphere. Think of those who maybe they think they got things under control. Or they're just spinning out of control. Think about who you can encourage and instill courage. And I'm going to say it again. I think I've said it the last few weeks. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he who is faithful is promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You gotta be in church. Yes, yes. Thank you, Brian, for encouraging our friend Mike here. Mike, we're so blessed to have you here, to be amongst the body, to encourage you. Yes. Listen, we battle in this world and we get beat up every day. It's good to get amongst like-minded people. We're going to the same destination. We can encourage one another as we live and run this race of faith. Final point, God strengthens the heart of believers because he's with them till the end. So show good courage, right? Psalm 31, 24, "Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord." Matthew 28, 20, "I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." Even when you think you're alone, you're not. And I know life is hard. It's hard. And there's times you feel like you're losing heart. And you think, I don't have it in me much longer. I can't go much longer. I'm on fumes now. Don't give up. Don't give up. We serve the God of the breakthrough. The Lord is with you. He will not forsake you. He goes before you and he is around you. Remember what Christ has done for you. If you are in Christ, then God is for you. You got to stir up your faith. Stir up your faith. As I close here, listen, we all desire to live in a perfect world. Where life goes smoothly, with no problems, with no stress. In fact, we were created for such before the fall in Eden. So it's not wrong to long for that. But that time is only going to come when Jesus comes back. You understand? But the reality of the days in which we live, the reality of the apostasy of the last days, which is very prevalent in the church, the falling away, the evil nature of this day and time, plus the presence of our enemies, Satan, our flesh, and this world system, they are constant reminders that that is not the case now. We are not in a tranquil state. We must face the facts and be prepared to face the reality that life is full of battles, they're full of toils, they're full of snares and struggles. And there are times of reprieve, but when we get those reprieve, what happens is we often get very complacent with those times. So then God suddenly jars us back into the reality with some very unpleasant condition. Some unpleasant experience. And we are again faced with the reality that you need to trust in him, Trust in his ways. Trust in his plans, not in your own path and not in your own strength. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Through his victory and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome in the individual battles of life. But you gotta be prepared to fight the good fight of faith. So my question is, do you feel the tug of God on your life to serve him in a particular way, but you're afraid? You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of what someone might think of you. You're afraid what it might cost you. Crossing the Jordan meant there was an obstacle. To cross the Jordan means you're going to enter into hostile land. You're going to enter a land full of enemies, some of whom were giants who lived in strongly fortified cities. It's no simple challenge. And along with all the Israelites, you and all the people was no small group. The very numbers make it a colossal task. But Joshua had the responsibility of leading a people who were noted for being stiff-necked and throwing stones at their leaders. Is God calling you and you're dealing with some stiff-necked people who are kind of throwing stones your way? Nevertheless, regardless of the obstacles, God's will has been clearly made known to you, just as it was to Joshua. He needed and you need to act on the fact that by faith, you have access to the Lord's presence with you, to his promises and his provision. So be of good courage. Take strength in the Lord in these last days, living by faith and not by sight. Because Hebrews says, now faith, today's faith, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Yes.
And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. The power that it does to build us up, Lord. The power that it does to cut to the bone and the marrow, to reveal the intentions of our heart, Lord. And if there are intentions that are not of you, that you would cut them out like the great surgeon. Yes. Give us a new heart. Give us a new passion. Give us a new desire to follow your leading, Lord. Speak to us that is clear and decisive, that we can trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You are dismissed.